Welcome to the Panther Creek Baptist Church podcast, where each week we bring you Pastor Erdy Carter's message from God's Word and help you apply it to your daily life. If you want to join us on Sunday, visit pcbco.org for the time and location.
We're in Luke chapter 2 today. We're going to start a series called Rediscover Christmas. And as we think about Christmas, there's a lot that goes on at Christmas, and we find ourselves so consumed with Christmas to the point that sometimes we forget and we lose Christmas. And I think we get wrapped up in a lot of things and miss the meaning of Christmas. And so we want to talk about rediscovering Christmas. And today we're going to talk about hope. And as you can tell through some of the songs we've sang, it's all about hope. If you've ever, anybody gone to Oklahoma City since 1995? Anybody? Yeah. If you go to Oklahoma City, since 1995, there has been this image downtown that has reminded them of hope. It's called the Survivor Tree. The reason I asked since 1995, April 19th, 1995, Timothy McVeigh comes to town and he parks a vehicle there in front of the federal building, and it explodes, killing, I think, 165 and wounding over 820. And in the midst of that, the city is devastated, lots of going on, and there stands this elm tree. In fact, I got a picture of it there. If you can see it, I'm not sure how well you can see it, but you can see the devastation of all the cars from the explosion, and there stands this elm tree. Today, if you go there, that tree had been beaten and branches broke, but it reminded them of hope in the midst of a difficult time. You go there today and you see that tree, and it is well taken care of, and a monument around it just reminds that city of hope. Lots of things we look at remind us of hope. But today I want to talk about a different tree, a tree that wasn't very pretty, wasn't designed to be a tree of hope, but it was the tree that put Christ on it. It was the cross. And Israel had longed and waited for the Messiah to come, not knowing that he would go to a cross, thinking he would go and rule as king. He finds himself in a world needing hope. And so today I want us to look at Luke chapter 2, look at a few verses here, because I want you to see that even in the darkest period of time that they were longing for this hope. So if you have your copy of God's Word, whether you've turned it on or you've turned to it, would you stand as we read God's Word? So then it was time for the purification offering as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So Jesus' parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered a sacrifice according to what was required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man named Simeon who lived in Jerusalem. He was a righteous man and very devout. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was eagerly expecting the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and he praised God, saying, Lord, now I can die in peace. As you've promised me, I have seen the Savior. You have given to all people. He is the light to reveal God to the nations. And he is the glory of your people, Israel. Joseph and Mary were amazed at what was being said about Jesus. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, this child will be rejected by many in Israel, and it will be their undoing. But he will be the greatest joy to many others. Thus the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. Well, let's pray together. Father, you are our greatest joy, and you are our hope. Speak to us now. For it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. So Simeon is an interesting character to look at here in Luke's gospel. At this moment in history, God had been silent for 400 years. Now think about that for a moment. 400 years not hearing God. 400 years wondering, has he forgot us? 400 years of thinking, is he going to come? Lots had gone on in 400 years, but God had remained silent. Now, let me ask you, how quickly do you lose hope? Are you a person who always finds hope and sees hope, or do you lose hope? I love college football, as you know, and lots of things have happened this weekend that's going to make tonight interesting when they choose who's in the playoffs. But one of the things I like about college football is the commercials, the Fanville commercials, the Dr. Pepper commercials. In 2023, they came out with this commercial. If you may not remember, but here's the characters of the commercial. The characters were all gathered in a house, and all of a sudden somebody says, our season's over. Why do I put my hopes in this? It's disastrous. Then Brian Bosworth, who's the sheriff there, he played for Oklahoma back in the day, and he was certainly a football legend. Bosworth looks at everybody and says, folks, it's the first play of the game. Do you lose hope like that? We get tickled at my father and my son because UK comes on, and in the first 5 minutes, if we've got a turnover, if we start get falling behind, well, we've lost this game. Yesterday, we did lose that game. There was no hope yesterday. But do you find yourself there? Simeon was a man who knew where his hope was at. Let me share with you three things this morning that I find that I think we need to wrestle with in finding our hope. It's the three things that Simeon had. First one is simple. Our hope is found in Christ alone. It's Christ alone. Simeon is a faithful servant. He is special like Joseph and Mary. When the world had been longing to hear from God and hadn't, they had heard. In fact, what's unique about Simeon is the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit didn't come upon people until after Christ's death and resurrection, because Jesus will tell them that he'll give them a helper. But Simeon had the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit had been speaking to him and reminding him that, one, he would see the Messiah, but that there was hope coming. And that hope is found in salvation through Christ alone. And for you and for me, I don't know where your hope is, but hope is only in Christ. And until you come to that moment where you realize it is only through Christ, you'll never find the hope you're looking for. When you realize that Christ gave himself for me, so that he could give himself to me, so that through me he could live, until you realize that it is in Christ alone, you'll miss the hope that can only be found. Israel had lost that hope. They had longed for a king who would sit on a throne. And God says, I've got something greater. Simeon understood that greater, because as he told Mary and Joseph there towards the end of our reading in verses 34 and 35, this child will be rejected by many, and it will be their undoing, but he will be the greatest joy for many others. It is in Christ alone. Christ alone. That's what Simeon knew. The second thing Simeon knew was hope is found amplified by the Holy Spirit. Amplified by the Holy Spirit. And I think about that. I just told you just a second ago that he had the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't fall upon people until Christ's resurrection. But it doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit wasn't around. We see different moments of him through the Old Testament. We certainly see it here in the life of Simeon. The Holy Spirit is at work. So what does the Holy Spirit do? Well, let me give you a couple things the Holy Spirit will do. First of all, the Holy Spirit teaches the things of God. Teaches us the things of God. When a believer comes to know Christ and he puts his faith and trust in Christ, he comes to this moment where the Holy Spirit then comes and he has that Holy Spirit living inside us. We have that Holy Spirit living inside us as believers. And as we do, the Holy Spirit speaks and teaches us the things of God. It gives us wisdom and insight. In fact, in John's Gospel, John says it this way in 14, verse 6, 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another, what's the word there, church? Counselor, to be with you forever. I'll give you another counselor. What does a counselor do? Advises, gives wisdom, teaches. All those things are what the Holy Spirit does for a person. And it amplifies the things of God. When we see God at work, it's the Holy Spirit helping us to have eyes to see that and understanding that. The second thing that Holy Spirit does is a source of wisdom. It's a source of wisdom. 1 Corinthians tells us, But it was to us, and God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. And no one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. You get a sense here of the counselor. Knowing right from wrong, helping us to understand this is sin, this is not sin, this is where we should go, what we should do. The Holy Spirit guides us. Simeon was a man who was guided by the Holy Spirit. Notice what we read in the text today. He was at home. And in verse 25 it says, he was filled with the Holy Spirit and was eagerly expecting the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. Verse 26, the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. What does the Holy Spirit lead you to do? How often do you hear from the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is so much living inside you. The Holy Spirit is so much wanting to teach you the things of God. The Holy Spirit is wanting to be your counselor. But how much do you listen to the Holy Spirit? How much are you aware of the Holy Spirit's work? Or how much do you just plan your day and go about the things on your checklist? And you feel like at the end of the day you've accomplished it if you've checked all the boxes. There's nothing wrong with doing that, but If the Holy Spirit directs you to do something different and you refuse to do it because the boxes don't get checked, there's a problem. The Holy Spirit amplifies the hope that is found in Christ. The Holy Spirit amplifies what God is wanting to do in us. Our hope is found in Jesus alone and is amplified by the Spirit. The third thing is our hope is to be continual. Continual. Hope is to be continued in one of those things. It's not to stop. It's not a hope you have today and gone tomorrow. It's a hope that is always there. Look at verse 25 of what I read earlier. Now there was a man named Simeon who lived in Jerusalem. He was righteous and very devout. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he eagerly expected the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. There was this moment for him. He was eagerly expecting the Holy Spirit to come. He didn't give up hope. He wasn't like Fansville, and that as long as things went his way, he kept on and on. So how do we have that kind of hope? How do we come to that place that our hope is continual? Because we live in a world that our hope is only found in the moment when things, for lots of people, go their way. We quickly give up hope when sometimes bad news comes. Maybe that's you, maybe that's not. How do you have hope that is continual? Well, the first way I would tell you is it involves patience and confidence. Patience and confidence. How many have patience in the room? Don't raise your hand. How many know somebody in the room who doesn't have patience? Don't point. You know? Patience. That's difficult. It reminds me of a story. A father was pushing his child through the grocery store. The kid was just screaming the whole time. The father kept going, "It'll be okay, Zach. It'll be fine, Zach." Every way he went up and down the aisle, the child was screaming and reaching out and pulling things off the grocery store shelf. "It's okay, Zach. Just calm down, Zach. We'll get there, Zach. It'll be okay, Zach." Finally, everybody in the grocery store was just like, "Let's get this guy out of here." This lady walks over to him and says, "Sir, you're going to be a great dad. I know you're a young father, but you're going to be a great dad. The patience that you have with your child is just amazing." Then she leans down to the child and says, "Zach, what is so wrong?" And the guy goes, "Ma'am, he's not Zach. I'm Zach. He's Drew." I mean, patience doesn't always, we don't, you know, people say, "I don't pray for patience because God will give them." God's going to give them to you one way or another. You might as well start learning to pray and say, "God, give me patience," because He's going to put you in spots that you need patience. He's going to cause you to have them whether you want them or not. The Holy Spirit is continual with us. And the Holy Spirit, understand that no matter where we go, no matter what we do, that the Holy Spirit is there, involves patience. But it also involves confidence. Confidence. Now, we have a lot of confidence in things today, don't we? I would guess you had confidence when you walked in this room and sat on that pew that you're sitting on. Doubtful anybody grabbed it, shook it, made sure it would hold you. You probably just plopped down on it. Why? Because you have confidence in it. If you've ever had a car that wouldn't always start, you understand not having confidence. You'd go out to the car and you cross your fingers, you say a prayer under your breath, hoping. Confidence means living with the understanding that it's okay. Even in the midst of problems and trials. Paul says it this way in Romans. We've been given this hope when we were saved. If we had already had something, we didn't need hope. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. The hope that we have is in Christ alone. And the thing is, the hope that we have in Christ alone is not that we're going to have a good life on this side of eternity, but that we're going to have a heaven and a glory and a paradise to be with our Heavenly Father. So it's continual. But also it involves alertness and readiness. Alertness. I've told you all before, I have a knack ever so often to walk up behind somebody quietly without them knowing it and then yell to see how they react. I've even been known to throw a firecracker in an office walking down the hallway. The firecracker was lit. It creates an alertness or readiness. Sometimes we're not quite ready or alert. One of my favorite moments was I was been trying to get my ministry assistant at my last church, and Laura was pretty good. I could get everybody to jump, but I couldn't get her. And one day she came in, and I could hear her coming down the hall, and I thought, this is my chance. She's walked past me. I'm going to get her, give her a moment down the hall. I'm going to bust through these doors and scream hello. She walked down the hall. I bust through those doors and screamed hello. What I didn't know, she wasn't alone. Our former pastor, who was up in years, was with her. She never got off the floor. We had to pull off the ceiling. I was afraid he'd have a heart attack. You know, when we get caught off guard, we respond in ways that we don't even know. But when we're expecting the Holy Spirit, when our heart is in Christ alone, when we know that the Holy Spirit amplifies the things of God, then we're alert and we're ready to see the things of God. We're not caught off guard. It doesn't bother us. It doesn't cause us to jump. It calls us to acknowledge God is good. Where's your hope found? Is it in you or is it in Christ? In 2000, we all know 2020 was not a year we want to recommend. In fact, I have a t-shirt that says, 2020, I don't recommend. We don't want to go back to shutdowns and living at our homes with our families and not getting to see people, not getting to go out, those types of things. But when disasters hit like that, or like 9/11, things change in the world. I can remember 9/11, the Sunday following 9/11, churches were full. During 2020, while churches weren't full, there are things that, like the YouVersion Bible app. Some of you have it on your phones. It's an app that has got all the Bible translations you could want. It'll send you a Bible verse of the day. You can have devotionals, that type of thing. In 2020, they had a record year of searches and looking. In 2020, people went to the website. Google typically every year will come out with what the most common thing or word or phrase was Googled for the year. Well, 2020 for the YouVersion, the question was hope. Bible verses that have to do with hope. 600 million, to be exact. People looking for hope. Why? Because they'd forgot where their hope was. Our hope is found in Christ alone. No matter what happens tomorrow, no matter what the doctor says, no matter how our life appears to be falling apart, our hope can only be found in Christ alone. Simeon is a great example of that. He lived his life patiently expecting God to work to show that hope. How are you living your life? Are you longing for God to work? Are you sensing that hope that is found in Christ?
Thanks for listening. If you have questions or a prayer request, you can email us at pcbc@pcbco.org.